My name's Sam, and this is Pilgrim Pit Stop, a podcast about following Jesus through life's highs and lows. Most of the episodes are conversations about following this incredible, demanding, forgiving man. Some are adventures I've had following him, and others are reflections on the Bible, faith, and spirituality. Why not subscribe and join me on the journey? Here's a little clip of what's coming up in today's episode.
You know, if I die tomorrow, Jesus will raise up a better YouTuber. You know, I am not essential.
All right, let's go. It's Thursday the 26th of August 2021, and I'm sitting outside Bristol Cathedral with my brother Thomas. What are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
What's about to happen?
So we're doing a little walk to Bath, about 16 miles, isn't it?
Yeah.
Along a disused train line. Or a train line that was decommissioned.
Okay, we're at the start of the Bristol to Bath railway path. We've got a kind of sculpture that we're standing underneath at the moment that commemorates the start of this route. Kind of twisted metallic trees. Should we begin?
Yeah, let's go.
First few steps, let's do this. So at some point this is going to become a disused railway line, I think, but no sign of that at the moment. We're sort of in a park at the moment.
I feel like train lines are often the most direct way to get into a city, aren't they?
Yeah,
more direct than roads even, because they're almost entirely straight and they just cut right through, you know, right past people's backyards, right into the heart of the city. And we're obviously doing that in reverse. We're walking away from Bristol, so that it's becoming a bit more suburban now, and we've just stayed on this very straight path following the old train line, been on it about half an hour now. And yeah, it reminds me of kind of, it's like it's a well-trodden route, you know what I mean, like those old pilgrimage routes or trade routes. You know, that everyone would be going along.
Yeah.
It's like the path has been set for us. We're not coming up with our own way. There were parts of the Scotland pilgrimage we did where we were very much, you know, carving out our own path. There wasn't a path on parts of Mull, and we were just scrambling through the undergrowth trying to work out a path. But here the path is very much prescribed and we're just following it. Oh, that's kind of got a kind of allegory to it, doesn't it? In that, you know, sometimes you know the path that has been set before you. And that can be daunting if it entails difficulty, but you know what has to be done. You know the walk you have to walk.
Yeah,
there's something in that, isn't there?
I watched the Martin Sheen film The Way a few days ago, and that's about a guy that does the Camino de Santiago pilgrimage in Spain in memory of his son who died on the pilgrimage. And he meets lots of other pilgrims who don't really know, kind of, they've all sort of almost ended up on the pilgrimage by accident. And they have different reasons for doing it, but ultimately it's almost like the way has found them. That's kind of the sense that I got from it. And maybe there is something in that idea of a pilgrimage, is that we don't always know fully why we're doing something or But we just know that it's the right thing to do, and we know that there's a kind of trajectory forwards. Certainly my understanding of faith is that it is a relationship, that faith in Jesus is actually about relationship with him, and that it's about coming and, yeah, and not not kind of not pretending that everything's going really well, just being with him and being in the presence of God. And that then provides the whatever you want to call it, the light at the end of the tunnel, the path, the route through the different seasons of life. Do you have any thoughts on that, Tommy?
Yeah, I think
Tommy
what
boy.
You said I think what you said there was very interesting, because I feel like sometimes we expect God to just end grief,
right?
But I think what I've seen and read in the Bible is that God doesn't always do that. He enters it and joins you in it. And he's with us in the tunnel.
Yeah.
We're currently having lunch, aren't we?
We're having lunch. We're on a disused railway station. So we're just sitting on what would have been the platform back in the day. And it's amazing, actually. They've really let it go wild and overgrown.
Yeah, the trees are actually coming up through where the platform is, was. It's very deliberate, isn't it? They've kind of put little circles of bricks around the trees, so they're clearly encouraging it to kind of be taken by nature a bit.
Mm. It's really nicely done. Yeah. How do you think the pilgrimage is going so far?
Yeah, all right. And we've got quite a lot to do, haven't we? I think we dawdled a bit this morning, which is good. It's good to kind of not rush. Don't rush the pilgrim. But, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's nice just to be in nature, isn't it? And, you know, we've really left Bristol behind now. It feels like we're right out in the countryside. And I guess we'll walk like this for another 5 or so miles, and then we'll start to see the outskirts of Bath and enter into the urban landscape once again.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. I don't know, do you want to talk a bit about that? And what do you do with your...
What do I do?
Life.
Yeah, so I work for a Christian media production charity called Speak Life, based in Eastbourne on the south coast.
Sunshine Coast.
Most sunlight hours per year in the UK, I think, something like that. And creating videos about Jesus and resources to help churches and that sort of thing. So that's my 9 till 5. And then in my free time, I also have my own YouTube channel called Stir and Fry, and I
he's plugged it.
Oh well,
I like
just
that.
Rolled so easily off the tongue, but I'm sorry. Yeah, you can cut that out if you want. We help each other, don't we? So in my free time, I kind of do some videos and looking at sort of film, kind of pop culture and Jesus, sort of film reviews and stuff. Looking at the theology of film. So I guess my free time and my job is filmmaking. I'm very into,
and YouTube, and specifically YouTube, which strikes me as a medium where your kind of success, quote unquote, is very very visible, isn't it? It's very much down to how many views you're getting and
right,
how many likes and comments and how long people are watching the videos for, and you can see all of that data, can't you?
Yeah, which is both a blessing and a curse, I think.
So how does that affect you if say you're going through a season where maybe the views aren't coming in to the same degree, or people aren't quite responding to the videos in the way that you would like? How do you deal with that?
Well, I think what I'm trying to learn, what I have been learning, is that isn't a problem, and that actually there's a problem if I care too much about how many views I'm getting, that would suggest to me that I'm doing it for the wrong reasons. So, you know, my channel has been going several years, quite slow growth, but you know, that's okay. I think it's okay to try and do things in the thumbnails and stuff to kind of, you know, to make them eye catching and kind of, you are trying to make, you do want to kind of make things that people will engage with. And I think that's okay, but I think you can go too far and kind of find your value in how many people you reach. And I think that's dangerous. So I try to do it, and I fail a lot, I think, but I do try to do it to honor Jesus. And if it's a very slow growth, that, you know, that's fine, or no growth, you know, that's okay. I think I'm becoming more comfortable with that, but I think I've definitely gone through seasons of finding too much of my worth in how well my YouTube channel does.
Yeah,
I don't know if you found that with your what you do.
Yeah, well, yeah, because this last year I've started a graphic design business, basically. So that's been amazing. You know, I've loved. It's been something that I've been passionate about for a long time, and have done graphic design in lots of different contexts. But to actually be starting my own freelance business, Pilgrimage Design, it just feels.
The hypocrisy in this episode is palpable.
But I echo what you're saying, because that maybe to a lesser degree, but you know, you can really measure your kind of success. Again, quote unquote, based on things like how many clients you're getting, obviously how much money you're making. And again, this for me, it's been kind of a slow growth this past year, but I'm actually really proud of the work that I've been putting in and feel like I'm building things that are gonna pay back in the future.
Can I ask you a controversial question?
Yeah, go for it.
This podcast, sort of a hobby you do, I suppose, and it's something you enjoy doing. But I suppose that could also become a thing that, you know, you're looking at the analytics and do you ever find that there's a temptation to, you know, get too much value from how many listens you're getting? And
100%. I was definitely at the start of doing this podcast, I was pretty obsessed with that stuff, and I think over time you just become maybe a little bit more numb to it, and sounds quite negative, doesn't it? Or maybe not numb to it, but you just feel a little bit less like it actually makes a difference, really. It kind of, obviously you want people to listen, you want people to respond, but I don't want my meaning to be caught up in that. And same with the design, you know, I do that because I love it, and I want it to be a profession that I can take with me. You know, I'm, as you know, love travel, and exploring living abroad longer term, and I want a career that I can pack up into my rucksack. That was always the reason for going freelance, and but it's a journey. And I think like our generation in particular, we maybe struggle with this thing a bit more than our parents do, for example,
who are quite entrepreneurial.
There's this kind of entrepreneurial spirit, you know, and you've got, you know, people like Gary Vaynerchuk and you know, all sorts of creators who have made it basically in social media and different platforms, and that you can kind of fall into the gospel of Gary Vee. Like, I think I think a lot of people, and maybe I've sort of dabbled with this as well, is it's something very compelling about what people like that say. You know, mentors who say that if you just hustle and put in the work and, you know, just keep on doing it and never, you know, don't worry about your social life, just pile into your career and you're going to make it, you're going to be really successful, and it can be quite a compelling vision, but I think it's actually deeply unhealthy. And more and more I want to have a kind of holistic view of work, and then that goes back to what we were saying about seasons. So that means that then if there's a drought season in my career, I then don't feel like my identity is in question. I don't feel like, you know, it's undermined everything that I stand for and who I am as a person. Equally, when things are going really well, when there's a real season of success and oh yeah.
Nice.
Don't know if you heard that, but a guy just walked past and said, "You might have a bit of a wait for the next train," which that was
tickled,
good, wasn't it?
Tickled me.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I think there's an added temptation if you're in Christian work. Like, I suppose your design thing, you do work for a lot of Christian things, but it's not, you know, necessarily, it's not a ministry in that sense, but you're doing it with a Christian ethos. I've found, you know, in the work that I do, there's a real sense that I think, oh, if my channel does better, that will be good for the church. And you know how John the Baptist says, "I must decrease so that he will increase." I think I can be tempted to say, "I must increase so that he will increase."
Right.
And I think that in a sense, mission depends in a small part on how well I do, how many people I reach, which is just such a backward way of looking at it, isn't it? You know, if I die tomorrow, Jesus will raise up a better YouTuber. You know, I am not essential in any way. And I think having that mindset that actually, you know, you are given the privilege to partake in this mission, it doesn't depend on you. You're not that important. Is such a much, it's very liberating, I think, to have that view.
Mm.
Yeah. Sorry.
He concludes his point with a nice crunchy apple bite. All right, we've made good progress, I think. How many more miles is it to Bath? What did it say on that sign?
Seven
more miles. So we're over the halfway point of this pilgrimage.
Yeah, we're currently walking along a tree-lined section of the track, which is very nice, isn't it?
Mm.
The trees are kind of leaning inwards, so you've got this kind of arch, tunnel of trees going all the way along. Yeah. Apparently, don't know if you knew this, but
hit me
apparently
with it.
Cathedrals are kind of often inspired by trees.
Oh, okay.
Like Gothic architecture. All the pillars and stuff have like little fruits sculpted onto them, and it's meant to look like very light, airy structures.
Mm.
The roof often has like, looks like branches kind of intertwining and stuff. And I guess plants are very important in parables of Jesus and stuff, aren't they? Sort of growth of the church. And yeah, so all this greenery, lush greenery of the British countryside, it's very
100%
evocative. Is that a train?
That's a train.
Thankfully not on the track that we're walking along.
Yeah, where is that? Can't actually see it. Can just hear it.
Oh,
nice. Yeah, so we're walking kind of parallel to the actual in-use train line. Is this interesting content? I don't know. Do you want to know that we're walking parallel to the train line that we're... All right, we have just come off the railway path out into a much more populated area, what must be the outskirts of Bath. And I think that sign back there said that we were 2 miles away from the city centre. So into the kind of closing moments of this pilgrimage. Yeah, it's been a nice day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And as we were talking about this on our Scotland pilgrimage, weren't we? That you don't want to focus too much on the destination. You want to dwell in the journey a bit, because that's kind of the point, isn't it?
Mm.
And I feel like, yeah, today has been like that. We've been taking it at quite a chilled pace. It hasn't been a strenuous walk. And so, yeah, it's cool to be arriving, but at the same time, enjoying the journey.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Enjoying being with you as well.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. Yeah, no, it's been a really lovely day. And good to kind of reflect on
this past year. I mean, like you say, the Scotland pilgrimage was pretty much exactly a year ago.
Yeah, gosh.
We were finishing it about a year ago. So.
And that was in between lockdowns, wasn't
right.
it?
So. Really interesting to reflect on the last year and the different seasons of this past year. It's been a tough time in many ways, as it has, I'm sure, for many people listening, for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I think we've learned a lot, and I think hopefully it's been a time of spiritual growth. Oh, there's a dead crow.
Oh, hi.
That's sad.
Huh. You didn't have to point that out to the listeners.
But I think it's important.
It's kind of relevant. Yeah.
You know, spiritual growth sometimes comes with a dead crow. Well, it's just gone 6:30 and the sun is starting to set and we're standing looking out over Bath Abbey, which is a really beautiful church. It's hard to believe it's not a cathedral, really.
It's huge.
It's absolutely huge and very ornate. And apparently a lot of it was literally dreamt up by the bishop at the time. He received a kind of a vision in his dream of what it should look like. And so, I think the west side is largely as a result of that that dream. It's a very, very beautiful church to end this pilgrimage.
Yeah, it's weird just going from one big kind of university city to another in a single day. Passing through a lot of rural areas. It's like, yeah, it's even though, you know, we did it all on foot, it's like we got on a train, isn't it? And popped out in Bath. And yeah, I think it's been good to chat and enjoy God's creation, hasn't it?
Absolutely. Many thanks to Johnny Davies for creating the theme tune. Thanks as well to Tattooed Preacher and Thomas Thorogood for the additional music. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast. And if you want to support it further, there are two fun ways to do that. Just check the description for the links. I really appreciate you listening. God bless you, and I'll see you down the road.